Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
On today's show, we've got Jesse Agler, whose winning personality will prevent him from ever being replaced by a robot, unlike some Major League Baseball umpires.
For clarification purposes, I don't think anybody is suggesting there's like a physical, like Jetsons-looking robot behind the catcher that raises his hand up and says strike one. There's like the scoreboard tells you essentially ball or strike.
And as the Padres get ready to take on the Rockies, Randy Jones knows it's baseball night in San Diego.
Yes, it is. And I'm loving it.
That's why we pay you the big bucks.
I'm just loving it.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padre Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Jesse Agler and Randy Jones.
Welcome to Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines. It is a baseball night in San Diego, game two of a three-game series between the Padres and the Rockies. Beautiful downtown San Diego. With
Randy
Jones.
I need a good weekend before they hit the road. Come on.
Yeah, man. Let's sweep these guys.
I'm loving that idea.
Oh, yeah. That sounds real good. We're at the AMR studio in the team store here at Petco Park. Come on down. Say hi if you're coming out to the ball game. And if you say, well, Jesse, I don't have tickets to tonight's ball game, we're going to take care of that for
really?
You. Well, at least for one person. We're going to give away a pair of tickets to tonight's game. Lower level seats. And it's not just a game, of course. There are fireworks afterwards.
Ooh.
Ooh. With Led Zeppelin music. So we'll give away a pair of tickets to tonight's game. We'll let you know how. Coming up in a little bit. It will, though, require you to come here because, you know, the game starts at 5:40. That's like...
Well, how are you going to get the tickets if you don't show up?
That's 99 minutes from now. Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to say, hey, you're going to come here, and we're going to give out a secret password, basically. And the first person to tell us the password is going to win the tickets. So that's how that's going to go. So just be aware of that. Justin Upton is going to stop by. He's going to sit right down on that couch where you are, and we're going to talk to him about everything going on with the Padres, and we're going to talk a lot about a really, really, really nice and fun and exciting win last night for the Padres. May I digress, though, for one moment?
Please.
A non-baseball thing. Kentucky Derby, a few minutes ago, Victor Espinoza, the jockey aboard.
Our local guy.
Our guy. Our jockey,
San
Diego's jockey, Victor Espinoza, for the second consecutive year, has won the Kentucky Derby. He was aboard American Pharoah. And so congratulations to Victor. He came on the show last year after the Kentucky Derby, and we said, hey, if you win the Preakness, you got to come back. And he did win the Preakness. He didn't come back, and then he lost the Belmont. So Victor, I know you're watching in Louisville right now.
no doubt in my mind.
No, I mean, 10 minutes after the ride ended, obviously, he said, hold on, get me my computer. I want to watch Padre Social Hour. hey, man, we look forward to seeing you again soon. But congratulations.
Great finish, yeah. Good job by him.
Man, they hung third the whole time, and then...
Right at the last.
Good finisher.
Yeah, the last 30 years.
Closer? What do they call that?
Closer.
Closer. Yeah, good closing.
Good closing.
By Victor Espinoza. So, hey, congrats. He races all the time at Del Mar. And very excited for our friend of the show, Victor Espinoza.
Like a little local flavor in the Kentucky Derby.
Love that, man. Love that. Hey, fun flavor to last night as well.
Oh, yeah.
A 14-3 victory twice this year. It's May 2nd, and twice this year the Padres have beaten the Rockies 14-3.
Ah,
how about that? Oh, there's a but.
The eighth inning. Something special about the eighth inning last night.
Very special.
The Padres hit around.
Without recording an out.
That is correct.
First time that's happened in baseball this year. So let me just put you like in the time machine for a brief moment. Let's say we go back exactly 1 year, May 2nd, 2014, and the Padres were struggling offensively, and those struggles would actually get worse as the season goes on. So that was last year. Now the Padres are leading the world in runs scored.
Right.
They're like scoring in the first inning almost every night, it seems like. They are the first team in baseball to bat around in an inning this year without recording an out. It's like offense, offense, offense. What a difference a year can make, huh?
Oh, it's just unreal, you know, what we're doing. And now all of a sudden, it's we're right in the ship on the mound, and I think that's a real key factor to this. I still believe that. And the last two outings have been solid. I look forward to tonight with Brandon Morrow has been solid his last four starts. So I'm excited about this whole scenario. We got James Shields on the mound on getaway day. I like that idea. It's all kind of coming together, I think.
It is. I think last night was a really big win, aside from the obvious reasons that they had been struggling. But it sort of gets the weekend off to a good start. Everybody sort of got into it. You just saw a base hit from Yonder Alonso. He was going to left or to the left side it seemed like every time he had a really, really nice night last night. Yeah. And he's not the first guy that maybe jumps into your mind, but that was super encouraging based upon his last week or so.
Well, you know, he had, what, three guys, I think, with three hits last night. And so you could pick one. Norris, you know, had a great night as well, you know, behind the plate and what he did with Kennedy. But I just think, you know, the key thing for Ian Kennedy is, you know, a lot of the goose eggs, a couple of, you know, mistakes for home runs, okay, and hanging change up with stubs. I mean, that can happen. But
how about the guy's 0 for 21 on the season, hits a home run, and he strikes out
and then
two
he
more
punches
times
out again. Yeah. Isn't that typical?
Yeah, amazing. That's baseball.
Yeah. And, you know, but took advantage, you know, we always talk about, you know, the team, you know, giving you extra outs in an inning. And we scored 300 runs off the four errors. But it just seemed like it kept the rallies going.
Yes.
You know, last night. And it's just a little bit of idea, just like even Myers' ground ball that it went through the wickets at, you know, at third base.
Yeah.
You know, that's very rare, but that's how hard he hit that ball. I don't think that, you know, I would not really realize how hard he hit that ball. Like it just snuck by him.
For all of the talk we do about Nolan Arenado's defense, mm-hmm. we did that. I feel like, you know, people always say, oh, you jinxed it, you know, on Twitter, or if you're, you know, on the radio or something, oh, you jinxed so-and-so. You know what? I usually say that's not how it works. I'll take credit. You know,
sure.
for jinxing Arenado. We talk about how good he is all the time, and then he goes out and he Buckners one. But you're right, it got on him in a hurry.
He took that one hot and boom, and it was right through him.
Right through.
My goodness.
Take away all of his gold gloves. No, I'm kidding.
No.
He's obviously happens. Very talented. But, yeah, it was that kind of night for the Rockies and that
it
kind
was.
Of night for the Padres,
yeah.
right? I'll ask this to Justin Upton in a few minutes, but, I mean, the off day, not to sound cliche about it or anything, but, like, it seems just it was extraordinarily well-timed. You know, based upon how things are
going. I thought
it
was, especially with the day game before. So it even adds a little bit more to that off day. It's just not like a little brief off day. You had the whole evening, then you had all day Thursday, you know, Friday morning. I mean, that's an extended off day. I think the guys needed that.
It felt really good, I imagine, for them. Ian Kennedy, meanwhile, almost from a discussion standpoint, gets put a little bit on the back burner because of all the runs being scored. But obviously, his start was a critical piece of the story last night. And, you know, for this team to have the big success that we all want them to have this season, Ian Kennedy's going to have to play a big role in that. You know, in the first start of the year, he gets injured. And, you know, he comes back after that. And obviously, it was a struggle, you know, against the Dodgers last weekend. And very, very solid last night.
Right at the ship. It looked like, you know, maybe a little bit, you know, the first inning, trying to get that groove, get that release point. Slowed it down a little bit, but he was able to get that. And, you know, a good solid outing by him. That's that momentum I'm talking about for the staff. I think Castro did the same thing the other day, but, you know, especially Ian Kennedy and, you know, Brandon Moore tonight, get that momentum going where all of a sudden now your starting pitchers are trying to outdo each other. And that's what I've been kind of waiting on. I want to see that.
We saw some of that last year, right?
Yeah, I want to see a lot of that this year. These guys had the capability to slam the door on some people. And, hey, even if you do it for 5 innings like we saw last night, it's the first five, you slam the door, keep the other team quiet. Give your team an opportunity to score runs, and we will.
One of the most important parts about Ian's start, aside from the obvious of being effective, was the fact that he got stretched out a little bit. 101 pitches last night. I think just sort of as you, again, you know, sort of continue to develop him into this season, it was good seeing him able to go that deep into a game because he hadn't done it yet.
That's right.
He just hadn't because of the injury.
His pitch count will have tendencies of getting up anyway by the nature of how he pitches. He likes to pitch up in the strike zone, which he does so effectively. You know, but it just create a lot of foul balls and, you know, some extra pitches thrown. But definitely a power pitcher. And that's without a really good breaking ball. He has not had good command of that breaking ball yet, Jesse. He did most of that with a fastball changeup last night. So I think there's bigger and better things in him. When he locks in that curveball and that slider a little bit better, he'll be even better than what we saw last night.
That could change some things for sure. Just 2 runs in 6 innings for Ian Kennedy last night, 4 hits. 2 walks, and 6 strikeouts against Colorado. Fastball control looked really, really good. He might have even had, you know, even better numbers a couple times early, especially. It seemed like he was getting squeezed on some tight ones. And that's just hashtag 2015.
We've only said that for 25 games.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's sort of been the deal all year long, I guess. But it was really encouraging to see. It was neat, too, hearing him talk, you know, after his previous start and then, you know, after last night. You know, mechanically, he sort of knew that there were some things he wanted to do differently, and that's what those between start sessions are for, right?
That's why they're so important. And there's always something you need to work on. I mean, for example, now before in between starts, I'm sure that he's not happy with command of his breaking ball. That's going to be something he's going to address in between starts, get on the mound, and work on that a little bit. Get that timing, that release point down. where you come in your next start a little more confident, you know, with that pitch. It's going to make him better.
Ian Kennedy, a big part of the story last night. Justin Upton, also a big part of the story, not just because of what he was able to produce from an RBI and run scoring standpoint, but I liked seeing him going first to third a couple of times, you know, aggressively running the bases, stealing a couple of bases. There was an errant pickoff throw. He ends up going from first to third.
Yes.
A little blooper to left. He goes from first to third. We'll talk to Justin Upton about that in a couple of minutes. But it was kind of encouraging to see, because we've seen some base running, you know, problems for the Padres so far this year. But it was like good, sound, smart, still aggressive base running,
you know,
last
and
night.
And, you know, you're talking a little bit lower in the lineup, but I mentioned to you before we came on the show, you look at Middlebrooks. Playing a solid third base. Last night, you look, he's only hitting .214. But he's swinging the bat a lot better than that average. And like last night, I mean, you look at it, he 0 for 3. But he scores two runs and has a sacrifice fly. He has an RBI. And when you talk about a team game and what it means, think about what that means. 0 for 3, you know, but still scores two runs, has an RBI. I mean, those are the little things that will go unnoticed. Boy, he had a bad night. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
He was a major integral part of the win.
That's why you got to actually watch the games and not just, you know,
really
look at a box score every
and,
night.
You know, and he's really swinging the bat better than that. And we all know it. They're just not falling in for him. And with all the shifts and everything, it's like they're reading his mind. And it's just, it's a matter of time before he'll get some breaks.
Meanwhile, I have to apologize for something. We're 11 minutes into the show, and I have yet to say the name Yanhervis Solarte.
Whoa.
Because he was in the middle of it again last night.
Three hits, four RBIs, was it?
Four RBIs. He's got 16 RBIs. He's tied with Kemp, Upton, and Norris, or sorry, Myers, not Norris, for the team lead. Yanhervis Solarte has 16 RBIs after the game on May 1st, tied for the team lead, and that's, by the way, top 10 in the National League.
Yeah, and you think about that. He was on the bubble about making this ball club coming out of spring training, and that's what's great about this game. He has stepped his game up, and he should be in the lineup day in and day out.
Yes, he absolutely should, and he is again tonight. We'll talk more about today's starting lineup coming up in a little bit. We'll obviously talk more about this game when we come back. Justin Upton will be here, and we'll talk to him about everything going on with this Padre team. Mentioned, going to give away two tickets to tonight's game. Blooper, is this the right time where we should go ahead and let people know how to win?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so here's going to be the deal. You're going to have to come down to the AMR studio. There's already a lot of people here. So if one of these guys doesn't have tickets, they might be the winner. But we'll see. I hope everybody here has tickets, or at least that they heard us earlier say this.
Don't they need the password?
And well, we're going to give them the password in a moment.
Oh, we are?
No, I was just explaining how it's going to work. So you come down here to the AMR studio. You find Larry. Larry is sitting in a director's chair in our set. He's got blue glasses. So he's the guy with the blue glasses and the backwards Padre cap. And you have to give the password to Larry. And the first person to give Larry the password will win two tickets to tonight's game. Now we have to tell them what the password is. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's a phrase. And so you just have to find Larry, and the first person to give him the password will win the tickets. The password, Randy Jones, you ready? Crafty Lefty.
Ooh.
All right, so the first person to find Larry and say, hey, Larry, Crafty Lefty, they'll win two tickets to tonight's game.
What if there's six people behind us right now, we go to break, and they all yell it?
First one to do it.
Okay.
This is how we're going to do it. No, it's a good question. I wish we would have thought of that before.
Yeah.
No, but we'll be fine. Well, okay. Everybody just cooperate, will you?
Two tickets.
Just be nice. All right, so two tickets to tonight's game. The password is Crafty Lefty. All right, I'll take a break. Justin Upton after this. Remember, every Sunday home game, Kids Fest at the park, featuring autograph signings from current players, balloon artists, face painters, and more. Bring the family to Petco Park for tomorrow's Kids Fest and watch the Padres take on the Rockies at 1:10. Tickets at Padres.com.
Crafty Lefty.
Crafty Lefty.
I win.
No, you have a ticket.
Oh,
you are not eligible
to
win. I'm sorry. No, you are not. All right, we'll take a break, come back. Justin Upton next from the AMR studio at Petco Park.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, welcome back. Padres Social Hour, Saturday night. That's a baseball night in San Diego. You got fireworks after the game tonight. You had some fireworks yesterday offensively for the Padres. Big win over the Colorado Rockies, or Rockies. Either way, it works. Big part of the win was Justin Upton. 3 for 4, a couple RBIs, 3 runs scored. Some good base running that we'll talk about. He is on the Cholula hot seat here. Don't let it burn you. That was fun last night, I imagine, huh?
Yeah, those are fun games when everybody's clicking and we're scoring some runs.
We appreciate you coming down. Did it seem like one of those kind of that's what the doctor ordered, you know, sort of games after the off day, everything like that?
Yeah, you know, obviously we struggled, you know, the past eight games or so. So, you know, lost some tough ones, but, you know, to get a big win like that last night, you know, definitely helps.
I feel like the cliche thing for somebody like us to say would be, the off day was perfectly timed, you know, because you had the Astros games and, you know, a couple of the struggles against the Dodgers, and you sort of get to clean the slate, you know, refresh, whatever you call it. Is that like a real thing for you guys? Does that help?
Yeah, I think, you know, starting out the season, you know, we had only had the one off day, travel to Chicago. So, you know, you're still getting up. You're still getting prepared. You're still packing. You're still, you know, getting on a plane and flying. So I think yesterday or 2 days ago was a good time for us to decompress, get away from the field, not have to show up to the stadium, get away from your teammates for a day, and enjoy some time away from the game.
Yeah. No, I think that's important over the course of a very long season, and it seemed to work out well, obviously, considering the result. Let's talk base running. Very aggressive. Not just last night, but a lot this season we've seen from this Padre team. We saw you go first to third on a throwing error on a pickoff, first to third on a flare to left, which I love. Just kind of, I guess, seeing, you know, nobody was really covering the base. The pitcher was late getting over there. Is that like a premeditated mentality that, hey, we want to be aggressive on the base paths, or for you that I want to be aggressive on the base paths, or is it just situational, or talk to us about that, would you?
I think our team's done a great job so far. We've taken that as something that we know is going to help us, you know, succeed and win the tight ball games. Obviously, last night, the game got out of hand a little bit, and it didn't shine through as much. But I think those are things that those are things that good ball clubs do. That to beat an ace or to win a tight game, those are things you have to do to win. So I think everybody as a whole takes that mentality, and you know, you got to control that aggression, obviously. But you know, if you can be aggressive in a situation, you need to be.
Kind of a fine line, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a fine line. You don't want to run into stupid outs. Yeah. But, if you're pretty sure you can make it, then you push the envelope.
On the pickoff throw, Arenado did the thing at third base where he pretended for a moment like he didn't have the ball. I suppose that does work occasionally, but it looked like you were very much on top of that situation.
Yeah. He tried to trick me, but I heard the ball hit the glove, and I just kind of saw him pick it up.
All right. Well, that's good. Using all of the senses to find out about the situation. All right. So we're like a month into this thing right now. How does the reality sort of match up with your expectations, I guess, going in?
I think we're right where we need to be. As good as we started out and as well as we were playing, you got to have that first bump in the road. They say it about like Kentucky, during March Madness. They were undefeated. They hadn't taken their lumps. So at some point they were going to have that down period or that bad game that they had to pull themselves out of. And it just happened to be, in the Elite Eight or Final Four, whenever it was. But you have to have those bumps for your team to grow. So I think it's good that we hit that little dead period and had a chance to look in the mirror.
What's the key to trying to pull out of one of those things? And obviously we're not going to suggest after one game everything is right back on track. Hopefully that's the case, for the rest of this weekend and into the road trip. But you've been around this game a long time. When you do hit a rut like that, what's the most important thing?
Well, I think the natural reaction is to panic and say, everything's going wrong. But, I believe that it's a part of the game. It's baseball. That's why we play 162 games. It's tough to win every one of them. Nobody's ever gone 162-0. So I think the biggest thing, don't panic. As a team, just stay in the course. Nobody press. The pitchers don't have to press. The hitters don't have to press. The bullpen, either. So I think we just, stay even keeled. Everything will turn. We'll start playing well again and ride it out.
Through these first, 20, 25 games or so, a lot of games against division opponents, some more coming up on this trip with San Francisco and Arizona. This might be a weird question, but obviously after starting your career with the D-backs, do you feel like you never left the National League West? Like, did it just sort of pick up right where you left off, or does it feel like it's been a lifetime or what?
It feels like it's been a while, actually. Yeah. Playing 2 years on the East Coast and, playing against different teams, playing in a different division, and It felt totally different playing in Atlanta and playing that division. So it kind of made me feel far away from the West Coast games. I remember, playing my game in Atlanta, coming home, and I'm eating dinner and flip on the TV
inning.
Yeah, it's the third inning of a game. So it was definitely a different feel. But coming back, obviously it's starting to feel more and more comfortable again.
Justin Upton is here. He's on the Cholula hot seat, and he's handling himself very, very well. I want to talk about dingers for a moment, home runs. particularly here at Petco Park. And by the way, you know, we've mentioned this a couple times, but really cool. Jack in the Box this year donating $500 for each home run hit by the Padres this season to Big Brothers Big Sisters San Diego. Justin has contributed very nicely by hitting the ball out of the yard. You've obviously played a lot of games here, you know, having played with Arizona. To a lot of people, man, the ball is leaving here a lot more than maybe we're used to seeing it, certainly as compared to last season. Do you notice this place playing any differently, you know, than it did in the past for you?
The night against the Dodgers, you know, that was the best I've ever seen the ball fly.
Yeah.
Here. I think the home runs that have been hit here have been hit well.
Yeah.
You know, obviously the ones here, the left field, it's, you know, the fence is, you know, I guess a little bit closer,
yeah.
But you've seen a few more balls fly out on this side of the field, which, you know, that's kind of where balls are hit here. But it's not flying any different. I just think you're seeing more of them.
That's something we've said for a long time, I think, is, well, if you got some good right-handed pull power hitters in here, you're going to see more home runs. Obviously, the Padres have done that.
Yeah, for sure.
And we have seen more home runs. They got the shorter, the little fence right outside our studio here. And then even the main left field fence, I think, is a foot shorter than it used to be. So some opportunities to go up the wall. We saw it last night. Good effort, man. Is that fun, like getting to climb those, scale those walls out there?
Yeah, every time I see a ball high that looks like it's going to be a homer in left field, I kind of get excited. As you saw last night, yeah. I jumped a little bit too early.
Okay.
And, you know, obviously that ball would still have been a home run. But, yeah, I get kind of excited.
It's got to be like the most fun thing to do as an outfielder, right?
Yeah, if you get a chance to steal a homer from somebody, that's probably one of the peak things you can do.
When you're going up the wall and left and you're reaching, I mean, how many rows legitimately, if it's like in the second row, do you have any shot if it's coming down, or it's got to be pretty much right
second
there?
Second row's tough.
Okay.
It's got to be coming down right, and, you know, there's a little gap, and then there's the first row, I think. It has to be in that area.
All right, we'll keep our eyes on that. I think you're going to get one or two before the things are all said and done. One last thing for you. I hear through the newspaper you are in on this Despaigne shopping spree on the next road trip in San Diego or in San Francisco. This should be something to look forward to, I think.
Yeah, I looked forward to for him.
How did you get pulled into this?
Well, I overheard the conversation
okay.
about Despaigne never getting a hit.
Yeah.
And I've seen his BP. I've seen his at-bats in the game. And I was pretty sure that he wasn't going to get a hit this year. He fooled us all.
Yeah.
He fooled us all.
He was playing possum the whole time.
Yeah, he was playing possum. And he went out. And for some reason, after I jumped in on that bet, I walked in my locker and I said, he's going to get a hit tonight. It never fails that when you make a stupid bet like that, it's going to blow up in your face. And it did that night.
It was that night that you said that.
It was that day in the clubhouse.
It was that day when it all happened.
In the clubhouse. we make a bet, and he busted the first night.
It's maybe some of the best dugout reaction I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Because it was this combination of excitement from some guys and, like, absolute disbelief from others. I mean, Kemp's there with his hands on his head. Like, he actually can't believe what he just saw.
Yeah, and you know what? Most of the time it's like a blooper or a ground ball through a hole. He hits a liner past the second baseman. That never should have happened.
No. That's unbelievable. And you can't even blame, like, Colorado being a little goofy. It was, like, a solid line drive.
Yeah.
He didn't, like, you know, kind of get it into the gap accidentally, and it carried more than it should have, and they were playing in, like, a softball game, and he hit it over somebody.
No.
It was a legit line drive.
Yeah.
He's got to be very excited.
He is. I mean, I'd be excited, too. I need to start making some side bets.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Hey, if I hit a home run, you got to buy me a wardrobe. All right, Justin Upton, man. Really not nice of you to stop by. We appreciate it, man.
All right, no problem.
That's Justin Upton on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula is the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap. For a punch of delicious jalapeno and poblano, check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Huge night for Justin Upton last night. Much more to come from him this season. Take a break. More Social Hour right after this.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Thanks to Justin Upton for
great.
Stopping
That's
by.
A great interview.
Thank
love,
you.
Love the guy.
He's awesome, man. He's a real low-key dude.
All I know is I think by the end of this next road trip, Despaigne might be the best dressed Padre on the road.
I think there's a very, very good chance of that.
I got a feeling he's going to milk that.
Yeah, yeah, I would say.
I just want you to know me personally.
Yes.
I would.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Yeah.
I liked, though, that Justin Upton, he didn't just go into it like nilly-willy. He's like, I scouted this guy. I watched him in batting practice.
Yeah, they all had.
Yeah, like, he's like, I've seen it.
Seen better swings on a gate. You know, it's one of those. in a way, he's going to get a hit.
Yeah, and what do you know? That night, he goes out and gets it. I thought also, too, really interesting, Justin Upton talking about the ball carrying here at Petco Park. That's been a really hot topic among media types, and I think among fans as well, because we've seen, you know, the ball just traveling greater distances, and people say, hey, they got the new glass building and the new video board, and things are changing, and Upton says, and to me, the only real difference was that one night against the Dodgers.
That one night, yeah. We've already talked about that. The flags were blown it that way, very unique. A lot of wind swirls, even by the press box where we sit. You know, just different acting wind. I don't know if the buildings, the scoreboard have anything to do with it, but also the heat we've had has been dry air. We haven't seen a coastal eddy in here. We're like 8, 8:20, you know.
Less marine layer, is that what you're telling
me? That's exactly right, and that ball's going to have a tendency to carry a little bit more until that air kind of thickens up a little bit. And you saw a little bit last night.
Yeah.
Later on in the game, it did get a little heavy out there. Ball wasn't carrying as well.
We need to get a weather person on. Blooper, can you work on that? Can we get one of the local meteorologists?
Yeah, make sure you
try.
Let's do that for tomorrow.
Yeah, make sure he has a season ticket.
Tomorrow's show, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
For tomorrow's show, one of the local meteorologists, maybe Fox 5.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that. Hey, what was the name?
What?
Pete. Congratulations, Pete. We've got a winner. Pete got
Attaboy,
his Led Zeppelin CD. He's got his tickets.
Man.
He found Larry, and he used the passcode, which was?
Crafty Lefty.
Hey, have fun tonight, man. Thanks for watching, listening, and stopping by.
Enjoy the Led Zeppelin, too.
Pete is the winner. We gave away tickets to tonight's game. That's the first time we've done the password thing.
I like it.
All right. Good job, Pete. Let's get one of the meteorologists on in town. Somebody who actually knows what the hell they're talking
like
about
that.
When it comes to this
think
marine
it's
layer.
A great idea.
All right, so let's do that for tomorrow, Blooper. You get right on that. It has been different, though. But Upton says to him, it really, you know, he thinks it's pretty much just that there are good hitters here. And that, I would imagine, is at least a very big part of it.
Got a point, because that's something we're not kind of used to the last few years.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there's that.
That's a statement that I can't really argue with either.
There's that. All right, so again, thanks to Justin Upton for stopping by. Remember, this show is interactive. I don't know that I've mentioned that yet today, but a big part of the show is your contributions. Whether you're standing here or whether you're at home, in the car, wherever, you can tweet at us using the hashtag PadresSH. That's the hashtag on Twitter. And so we'd take your Twitter questions and comments. You can also chat live with other fans at padres.com/social hour, where you can watch and listen to the show if you so desire. We do have some Twitter stuff coming in, so Blooper will fire up the Twitter machine. We start with our buddy Darklighter, who I believe is coming to the game tonight. He says, watching Padres Social Hour, I've learned that Justin Upton has mastered the reverse jinx, talking about Despaigne getting a hit. That's exactly right. I like that Upton was at least like willing to say, this is on me. Like he said, the moment he made the bet, he walks over to his locker and he was like,
he's going to get a hit tonight.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. It absolutely
happens. It really
does. It's amazing. Baseball is a funny thing like that. Good observation by Rich. Jeff is up next, and Randy's got a question for you regarding the umpires, and he wants to know, what spot did you try to hit consistently or argue to get a call? Where did you like to go, sinker baller?
Well, you know, basically, sinker baller, a lot of right-handed hitters, so I'm looking at the outside corner, you know, and you know, I'm talking about Peyton, I'm talking about the black, you know, I'm not talking about the outer third, I was talking about the black, and what I really like, I love to start the ball about the top of the kneecap and get a little sink, you know, almost to the shin, you know, and then let's argue about when did it sink and when did it cross the plate, you know, was it at the shin, that's where you caught it, and I used to get into a lot of arguments, and you know, but the one thing is I could hit that spot, you know, probably 8 out of 10 times. And so I would pound that spot until finally I'd get Freddie Kendall, my catcher, to sell the umpire on it. I mean, you keep pounding the same spot, you know, and all of a sudden he called one a strike and then it was off to the races.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, there's a lot of times what you have to be able to see is a spot an umpire likes. Do you have the ability to duplicate that spot? Can you hit that spot that often? And that's the hardest part, I think, of it. But that was just the makeup, you know, and I would hit it at 74 miles an hour, then I'd hit it at 80, then I'd hit it at 75, then I'd hit it at 82.
But, I mean, as long as you're hitting the spot, you want it, man.
That's it.
Want that call.
I want that call.
Yeah, no, that's very understandable. All right, I mean, umpiring, look, it's been a conversation topic all season. Unfortunately, all season. But when you sort of make up for everything in a game like last night and Ian Kennedy settles in, regardless of not getting a couple of calls and you get all the offense, it ends up not being that big of a topic.
Are you going to put a robot, though, behind the plate? Like the guy?
Again, with the robot umpires, I am not asking for a physical robot to replace the umpire. Just now, some sort of electronic.
Well, anticlimactic.
So you want like the Jetsons robot.
Yeah, there you go.
He looks like the Tin Man back there or something, and he's strike one.
I just want to see I want to see the robot kick somebody out of the game.
That'd be pretty funny. And how does the robot eject somebody? Does he go like Joe West and just kind of flick his wrist at him?
You're gone.
All right. We were talking about trying to explain this marine layer and everything. I don't really know any of the local meteorologists. And silly me, I forgot that a big friend of the program, a guy who hosts the show sometimes, Ben Higgins at Channel 10, he knows all the Channel 10 meteorologists. So he has volunteered them. He has volunteered their weathercasters. Pat Brown is one of them. Also, Ben has volunteered Craig Herrera and others. So that's nice of Ben to just volunteer people like that. Whoever, Ben, you get a checked out. Megan Perry, any of them. Whoever can best explain this thing to me, we'll talk about. So maybe Ben can help blooper out with all of that. All right. Thank you, Ben. We'll hopefully get one of those guys or gals on tomorrow to explain to us the is it an El Nino? Is that maybe part of the deal? No? Okay.
No, get away. Right, no, we need somebody in here.
Because now I'm just spouting nonsense?
Yeah, you are.
Well, no, there's different atmospheric conditions that can affect things like ball flight.
Yeah. El Nino.
You know what I'm talking about right now?
I think El Nino. I think, you know, ocean temperature.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's,
sure.
That's not exactly what
whale
I'm talking
about. Whale migration.
I'm talking about coastal eddy, not coastal eddy. You know, wind swirls.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about.
Tides.
El Nino, no.
Tides.
That has something to do with fishing, in my opinion.
I think it's all connected. Does anybody understand this stuff?
We'll find out.
All right, we'll get one of the professionals on the tomorrow show. All right, more Twitter? We got to take a break. I'll take a break, come back. We'll do some more Twitter after this. Again, the hashtag is PadresSH. We're having some fun on a baseball night in San Diego. As your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and with Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. We'll take a break, come back. Plenty more Twitter stuff coming up. And Marine Layer Talk. Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
We're back at the AMR studios at Petco Park with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. Baseball night in San Diego. Game two of a three-game series between the Padres and the Astros. 119 runs scored by San Diego so far this season. That's tops in the
National
League.
How about a run differential of 8?
That's good, plus 8. You plus like being 8. In the plus when it comes to run differential.
Yes, that's right.
You don't want to be in the red.
If you're giving up more runs than you're scoring, that's not good.
Yeah, generally you're going to struggle with that. Brandon Morrow tonight against Jorge De La Rosa, who on April 20th lasted 2 innings, allowed 9 runs, 7 of which were earned. And that was it. They knocked him around pretty good that night.
But also, De La Rosa, you know, don't discount the left-hander. Quality pitcher last time out. No decision. He went 5 innings, gave up 2 runs, 4 hits, punched out 7 in his last time out. So it's just like kind of Ian Kennedy getting back into the groove. So and we've dominated left-handers, to be honest. We really have.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a good job of that. But,
a lot of those numbers came from that night, too.
Yeah, we're gonna have our hands full. You know, it's not. I don't think the second time around, I think Mr. De La Rosa has something to prove. So.
Oh, you think that he will make adjustments?
I think he'll make some major adjustments.
He's not going to have the same game plan as he did a couple of weeks ago.
I don't think that's going to work.
All right, you're probably right about all of that. All right, we were talking about robot umpires a couple of moments ago. Ghost of Ray Kroc, who's actually here. I love when people tweet from the set. That really adds a whole other element of it. It becomes more three-dimensional. He says that the robot umps will eject players using lasers.
That would be awesome.
That's not bad. Do they just disappear? Is that what happens? They just poof.
Just poof.
They're gone. All right. Had a nice interview earlier with Justin Upton, and David Fernandez checks in on the Twitter at BigWave44. He says, Justin Upton needs to be re-signed. His chill personality matches with San Diego. Great interview. David, glad you enjoyed the interview. I would love to see Justin Upton re-sign. I don't know that that's anything we're going to have an answer to anytime soon.
I don't know if that's a reality, and then, you know, just based on the players and knowing Justin, I mean, here's your opportunity to kind of test the market, and then you can always sign. You know what I'm saying? So I got a feeling he might go a little bit deeper into the postseason or after the year to see what kind of offers he gets before he would even sign. You know, we should make that attempt, but I think it won't be fruitful.
I mean, look, you got to figure there's going to be an attempt. There's going to be an effort. There are some things that work out in his favor or in the Padres' favor, but I don't know that that's a conversation that's going to take place anytime between now and the end of the season.
I don't think we need to get in a hurry.
Yeah, no, I don't think it sounds like that's very realistic. But it would be great. You can't argue with that.
Oh, I can't.
Can't argue with that. He is a heck of a baseball player.
It's changed the whole dimensions of that lineup day in and day out when you watch it.
Big time.
When we are doing that, and it has been great.
Yeah, no question. All right, not Tim Spooniebarger wants to know if the term dead arm stage still happen. For pitchers, he says, used to be the third week of spring training for the starters, right? Well, yeah, Joaquin Benoit, Buddy Black has said, he's got a little bit of a dead arm thing going on right now. He hasn't thrown the ball since Monday. So, yeah, that happens.
Yeah, and, I think also maybe he didn't pitch as much in spring training. The only reason, he was the closer through spring training. I think he had that closer mentality of the ninth inning. So, I mean, that changes a little bit, in my opinion. Yeah, when you're the closer mentality, plus all of a sudden Kimbrel comes in out of your eighth inning, you're going to go through that dead arm, especially a relief pitcher, not getting them out of innings. A starter will, because you get to 15 innings, you get a little dead arm. 15 innings is a lot of innings for a bullpen guy, and so he might actually get it in April. That didn't surprise me at all.
Okay, nothing to be concerned about is what I'm hearing from you. All right, so that's the situation there. Sean Kelly, by the way, will throw Monday and Wednesday for the Chihuahuas. He's on his rehab assignment. The relief pitcher, he's got, what was it, calf, right?
Calf strain.
So he's down with the Chihuahuas on the rehab assignment. And Buddy Black said before batting practice today, he'll throw on Monday and Wednesday. Those games are in Fresno. The Padres will be in San Francisco.
Isn't that a coincidence?
It could be. Of course, the Padres will be leaving San Francisco on Wednesday. But anyway,
I don't know if there's any flights out of Fresno.
Something to keep an eye on. Smaller airport, smaller
it's
facility
very small.
In the valley there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not the same as up in San Francisco. All right, well, we'll take a break, come back. I had some other fun stuff to talk about here, including an interesting note on the team we just saw, the Houston Astros. Mm. I know I really didn't want to say the word Astros again for the rest of the season after this week, but I did see something kind of cool today that I wanted to bring
good.
To your attention, Randy. And as always, you can contribute on Twitter. Some good stuff today. Appreciate everybody. Just use that hashtag PadresSH. You can join the Padres and Baseball Tomorrow Fund to help youth baseball and softball programs. At today's game, you can bring in new or used equipment to donate right here to Petco Park. Collection bins are located outside of the gate, so if you're on your way to the ballpark or you're getting ready to come out to the ballpark, remember, new or used equipment to help local little leagues and that kind of thing. Excellent, excellent stuff. Take a break, come back. A little bit of an interesting Astros note. Also, something Pedro Martinez said yesterday that I want Randy Jones to react to. That's coming up next, Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
You want some Padres talk?
We've got that.
Padres Social Hour returns now, presented by United Airlines.
Welcome back to the AMR studio at Petco Park. Baseball night in San Diego. Game two between the Padres and the Rockies coming up with Randy Jones. I'm Jesse Agler. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, I didn't get another cup.
Yeah, we replaced your mug. I saw that. You used to have the white mug. And then Blooper didn't clean it for like 3 or 4 months, and it got a little gross. And now you have a blue mug, which is smart because you can't tell when it's dirty because it's dark.
Exactly.
Yeah, so now you're just fine. You're absolutely fine.
I want to thank the Pottery Store for donating this cup. Oh, I didn't tell them, but
okay.
I just kind of borrowed it.
I see how that happened. That's outstanding. A Houston Astros. They just came in here. They swept the Padres, right? I didn't ever want to talk about the Astros again, but I read something interesting today. I've mentioned this before. The video game by Sony, MLB The Show. It's like my favorite thing in the world. I love the game. They make it here in San Diego, which is kind of a cool added bonus. I think it's just as well-made a video game as has ever existed in the sports world. And it's really fun. Like, we had it down here at the set for a period last year. Love the game. Apparently, the Astros have decided in their advanced scouting department that the game is so realistic and so locked into, like, real-world tendencies and stats and everything that they're actually using it as part of their preparation for upcoming series. How about that? How about that? They're using the video game, and it's not the only thing they're using. They're obviously watching, actual games, but they're using, like, the stats and the spray charts and all the kind of stuff that's in the video game
ready. So they're matching up the shifts they do in the video game, and they're bringing it to real time.
Yes. Well, I don't know if they're doing it in the moment, but it's sort of part of, like, the packets or whatever.
Well, it's a good time to do it. I mean, you come down here, you sweep us, you won 2 in a row in Seattle.
Yeah.
Good time to announce it, I guess.
I think somebody found out about it, and it was one of those things. But anyway, I thought that was really cool. That's how realistic that game is. and the tendencies and those sorts of things.
I've got to catch up. I missed that game.
Well, you and I will play. You come over to my house. We'll get a pizza. We'll get a pizza. We can play some MLB The Show. It'll be outstanding.
Okay. What are you looking at, Blooper? You want to play?
I want to come eat pizza and play video games.
Always. Oh, never. Some things never change.
Pedro Martinez was on MLB Network yesterday, and he blew my mind. Now, this might be something that people like you who have won Cy Young Awards know about, but it was never something I had heard before. And so he's on there with Harold Reynolds, and they're sort of, you know how they have the fake field where they stand there and they show
right.
you things? So he was basically saying that a lot of batters, when they get into the box and they do their practice cuts, where they sort of do their practice swing is where they like the ball. He said it was something Felipe Alou taught him a long, long time ago when he was in Montreal. And he said, for instance, Mark McGwire would get up there and he would sort of, you know, he's got that low almost golf swing thing. And he goes, that's a low ball hitter. And then he was showing, you know, Mike Trout currently. Mike Trout kind of gets up there, and he's got, like, a high practice swing. And they showed the hot zones for these guys, and it was, like, one after another, and it was mind-blowing to me. I never heard that before. I never, like, thought of that before. And I'm sure it's not the case for every single guy. But he was saying that, you know, a lot of times, if you look at a guy's hot zones and cold zones, and then you look at his practice swings, they'll tell you. They'll tell you right where they want the ball, and he's like, so just don't throw it there, which, of course, it's not that simple, but I thought that was a fascinating observation.
Yeah, some guys, like Dave Kingman, the old days, same thing. He had that low swing, and he's a low ball hitter, you know. And, of course, they looked at me, and I was a low ball pitcher. What do you want me to do, you know? I mean, let's see who wins, you know, in that scenario. I can't pitch the guy up, you know. I couldn't throw
it. Fair enough.
You still catch up with it.
But, I mean, is that something like pitchers you guys all talk about?
Sure. Yeah? I mean, you'll be always watching.
Too many secrets.
Like the day before, and you're
watching. Why have we never known this?
Watching tendencies. You know, and that's what you do. I mean, today, you know, it's a lot more sophisticated. I don't call it TMI, but it's a lot of information.
You got a filter.
Yeah, but in the old days, it was just we had a mental book. I had a mental book on the entire National League and every hitter that I'd done that just by facing them. And watching them the day before. What are their tendencies? Where are they swinging the bat?
Pedro
what
talked
are they
about
like?
BP also, really being real locked in during batting practice.
Yeah, and I don't care about the first two rounds. Third round, that's when I would pay attention. First couple rounds are getting loose, they're slapping the ball over the place. But in round three, if they get that fourth round and four swings, those are the rounds I wanted to watch in BP. That's when they're making their big cuts and, you know, and see where their tendencies are. They'd like to drive the ball the other way or – were they dead pull? You know, and then that would maybe – I would test the waters with different pitchers.
Fascinating stuff. You owned Pete Rose. Mm-hmm. So what was your mental book on him?
Basically, a lot of times I would get Pete Rose 2-0. Yeah, because in mentality, I had to throw him a strike, a fastball, you know, 2-0 in that scenario. And I would, but it would be like a 78-mile-an-hour sinker ball. And he did a ground ball, and it frustrated him to death.
And that was it.
He's still waiting for that fastball. You know,
I like that.
It worked.
Yeah, it did. Big time. Terrible numbers against you for Pete Rose, the all-time hits leader. We were talking about robot umpires earlier, right?
Right.
And what, like, an actual robot umpire would look like. Tom on Twitter, he comes through with this simulation.
I love it. That's great.
It's pretty solid. That's pretty solid.
That's almost intimidating.
It's kind of hard to argue that would not be awesome. Now I'm kind of in favor of the Jetson-style umpire.
Yeah,
right there.
Especially that first time he lasers somebody.
That's it. You argue balls and strikes, you're done. All right.
That's good stuff.
That's very good. Not too late to become a Padres season ticket member. Prorated plans and flexible benefits are still available. So become a season ticket member and be a part of the Padres family. Visit Padres.com/membership to learn more or call 619-795-5555. We'll take a break, come back, give you the starting lineup for the Padres tonight against Jorge De La Rosa.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
Second game of the series against the Colorado Rockies. Starting lineup for the Padres tonight, presented by United Airlines. Proud to fly the Padres and fans to every away game. United, fly the friendly skies. Derek Norris in the two-hole. I enjoy that. I like that. I like Derek Norris batting second. That'll be the case tonight against the left-hander Jorge De La Rosa. Solarte starts at first. Jerko starts at second. Barmas starts at short. Those would be the things that pop out to me, Randy Jones.
Yeah, left-hander, you know, it's a good lineup. Good solid lineup.
It is a good solid lineup. They beat up on Jorge De La Rosa on 420 up in Denver, and now they have an opportunity to try and beat him again here tonight.
Yes.
Yes.
All starts the mound, though, Brandon Morrow. You know, like yeah. his fifth start, he's gone 7 3 times, 6 innings the other time. He's looked great.
He's looked very, very solid.
We've won every one of his starts, by the way.
Let's keep that going.
Yes, yes.
What do you say? Hey, this was fun. Thank you.
I love it. Good hour.
Really enjoyable interview with Justin Upton. If you missed it, check it out on Padres.com. That's it for us. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 11:30. Enjoy the game, everybody.